Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are getting ready to wrap up their series against the Braves, and our host Jesse Agler's already looking past the show, past the game, and into his afternoon activities.
How about after the game this afternoon, we just take a sailboat out, and we go Point Loma, go sail around the bay. What do you think?
Also with us today, it's Mike Grace, who apparently would serve the same purpose on a boat as he does here on the show.
I'm straight labor. There's no skill to anything I would do.
All right.
And I would take perfect direction, unlike Blooper.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
Melvin Upton Jr., welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Day Baseball, way back Wednesday, 12:40, first pitch at Petco Park, as the Padres try and improve upon their 0-5 record in the brown and orange uniforms this year. You didn't realize that, did you?
You told me earlier, and I was
mean literally you. I meant just
the world.
People.
No, I didn't, though. I hadn't realized.
0-5.
That's not fun.
In the throwback uniforms this year, four way back Wednesdays, and then the Hall of Fame night,
right?
When Templeton and Santiago were inducted, that was kind of the uniform of their era, and so they wore them that night and lost. 0-5 in the brown and orange, and this is the last scheduled time they're going to wear them. It might be a surprise in September. They did that last year with the brown and yellow. Let's do this, and let's get the sweep over the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, that's two things that has eluded this team: wins in brown and also finishing a sweep. Anecdotally, this team has really struggled to kind of close that gap, and that really kept them from getting back in the race a few times. I mean, they were playing really good baseball, would play a good game, but couldn't finish that third game of a series to actually finish. So
yeah.
Got to get this one today.
Last series, Colorado won the first two, got shut out in the third game. Prior to that, Cincinnati here won the first two and then lost last way back Wednesday, last week. So they try and make amends for that here today against the Atlanta Braves. Julio Teheran will be on the mound for Atlanta, much better at home than on the road this year. And Tyson Ross, who's maybe been the best pitcher as of late for the Padres, will be going for San Diego. So obviously so many things to talk about here. And I guess you got to start with Melvin Upton Jr. But even before we get into him, Travis Jankowski. My understanding is his plane is just now landing. Has just landed, is about to land, something like that. So he is not in the starting lineup. But as AJ Preller announced last night, yesterday afternoon, he is going to be part of this. Go ahead, Blooper. You're allowed to. You got something to do? You all right? Everything over there? No, go ahead. Just say it. People are screaming right next to us. You can tell them to please be quiet nicely. That's okay. Thank you. So you got Travis Jankowski coming in, and he's just like wildly waving his hands at nobody. You're allowed. Just be nice about it. Just be nice to everybody.
Oh, he's always nice.
No, I know. He's a very nice guy. But Travis Jankowski will be here on the bench, but he will not be in the starting lineup today. And obviously, after the night Melvin Upton Jr. had last night, he needs to start in center field again today.
Yeah, two home runs. You get to start the next day. But let me remind you, do you remember like the first month and a half of the season?
Yes.
What were all of our Twitter questions about?
Melvin Upton.
I mean, I guess this is what people were waiting for. And you've seen the talent over the years. I mean, he had some pretty spectacular years in Tampa Bay. And it can be one of those teasing players because you see the speed. You see the power that he had last night in a very wiry frame. But that was pretty spectacular what he did at the plate last night. Five RBI.
Big night. RBI single his first time up, or second time up, excuse me. And then a two-run homer is next at bat. And a two-run homer the next at bat after that. And maybe the coolest thing about Melvin Upton's night last night was that he was not originally in the starting lineup. And
right.
So because of that, we're going to make him our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. This guy was scheduled to be on the bench last night. Will Venable was scheduled to be the starting center fielder. And then Will Venable gets traded to the Texas Rangers, and Melvin Upton, very late in the deal, gets the notice, hey, you're going to start in center, and then goes out and has his best offensive game of the season, and was just awesome last night. And it must have felt so, so good against the Atlanta Braves. Pat Murphy even referred to it as a breakout performance, actually. And when you go back and look at the numbers since July 7th, is hitting 295.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can't erase and pretend that the things before that didn't happen. But Pat Murphy said last night, hey, the guy didn't have spring training. He was hurt earlier this year. Been kind of a weird situation with the trade and everything like that. But now playing a little bit more consistently in the last 6 weeks or so, he's been putting up some pretty good offensive numbers. And last night was really the culmination of all of that.
Yeah, I think when you take into account that he didn't have spring training, coming off the last 2 years that he's had, he wasn't coming off of any kind of personal momentum. So, yeah, I mean, and like we've talked about all along, I mean, yes, he has a high salary. He's on this team, but he has talent. He's a bit of a lottery ticket. So there is a chance there that he could turn into a very high-impact player like you saw last night. I mean, now is he going to hit two home runs every game? Of course not. But
why not?
Because he would be the best player in the history of Major League Baseball.
Why not?
Why not? You're absolutely right. He absolutely could be.
No, I guess you're probably right. If you had to guess, he is not going to hit two home runs
every
game for the rest
not.
Of his career. Okay.
But, I mean, the talent is there. The talent's always been there. And sometimes when you have adversity in your career, it can change your approach and how you go about it. He says he's been working really hard on his swing with Alonzo Powell and Mark Kotze, and you're seeing some of the fruits of that labor.
Absolutely. So, again, not in the starting lineup yesterday originally. Venable traded. Melvin Upton gets the late notice that he's put in. He's our Firehouse Sub Sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. So that's the Melvin Upton story. The other thing Pat Murphy said, I thought, which was interesting about him after the game last night, was that the confidence is coming for Melvin Upton. And it's so easy to forget that a guy who is a well-played Major League Baseball player is going to have ups and downs when it comes to confidence. But, you know, Melvin Upton hit around 200 each of the last couple of years with the Atlanta Braves. Then he starts this season out on the disabled list. He doesn't get to do the full spring training thing. So you could understand that maybe the confidence isn't going to be as high as it has been at other points in his career when he was raking with Tampa Bay or whoever else. And so that's not something to be dismissed. That's not something to be ignored.
No, I think we've talked a lot about that, especially with Randy and Kurt, these guys that actually play the game, how important confidence is. And you can't just manufacture that. You can't just decide that, oh, yeah, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to get a hit. That just isn't the way it works. And when you've had the year, the 2 years that he had in Atlanta, that's going to do a lot to your confidence. I mean, taking it from the fans, taking it from the media, and being able to come here with a fresh start. And, you know, San Diego, a little laid back. You know, it's a fun place to be. All those things have got to contribute. Plus, you've got a good coaching staff. And hopefully, those are the things that can lead to him having a very good major league career going forward.
That would be the best case scenario, certainly. And with Travis Jankowski arriving shortly, that certainly brings up the question about how those two guys will be used moving forward. They are both center fielders. The thing maybe that you could look at is Melvin Upton is a right-handed hitter and Travis Jankowski is a left-handed hitter. So whether or not Pat Murphy decides to go with a straight platoon based upon who the opposing starting pitcher is or not, he does kind of have those two options, as he did when Will Venable was here. You know, so again, it wasn't a straight platoon with Venable and Melvin Upton. I don't know if it's going to be with Travis Jankowski and Melvin Upton, but obviously Pat Murphy does have that option moving forward.
And I'd say that's a big benefit for Jankowski. He's probably going to get to hit mostly against right-handed pitching instead of having to struggle against major league left-handed pitchers. So that's going to help him develop, maybe not get him into any kind of negative ruts, let him play every other day or so. It takes a lot of pressure off of him. That's the last thing you ever want to do, is put too much pressure on kids coming up. But you got to love the defense and center field you're going to get out of both of these guys now, which has been an issue for the team most of the year. Will Venable, a good center fielder, but I think Upton and what we hear about Jankowski in center probably take it to another level.
Absolutely. And we'll talk a lot more about Travis Jankowski coming up in the next segment. We'll get into who he is, what he does, how does he do it, some of the numbers, and a little bit more maybe about what the role is going to be moving forward. And as always, you can send us your questions and your comments on Twitter. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. We've got a couple coming in that we'll get to coming up about Travis Jankowski. But I want to do a little bit more on last night's game. James Shields, 6 shutout innings, 5 hits, couple walks, 7 strikeouts. And I think the big moment for him, right? 4th inning, bases loaded, nobody out. And he gets out of it, and it's that sort of traditional way to get out of the bases loaded, nobody out jam. First, you get the strikeout, and then the ground ball double play.
Again, that's something that seems to have been missing this year. Padre pitchers getting into jams, whether it's something they did or the defense behind him, and he did it. He did it twice last night, too. Also, the second inning, Justin Upton loses the ball in the lights and gives up the double, which should have been a routine fly ball, but then he comes right back and gets out of it. And we've kind of seen those things be a negative snowballing effect on this team in the past. So I think that was a big positive. I don't think he had his best stuff. He was locating pretty well, but a lot of pitches to get through those six innings. Then the team got the lead, so he didn't have to keep going out there and leaving the bullpen. But, yeah, that was big to get out of that inning, especially the bases loaded jam, nobody out. I mean, that's a big negative for the Braves when you don't get a run home there.
Oh, yeah, no, you feel buried. You feel absolutely buried at that point. You're like, man, we had the bases loaded, nobody out. We came up empty. Came up empty early on in the game, so they've got to be frustrated. And as a pitcher, maybe you try and use that to your advantage the rest of the night. I like that word you use, snowballing, because we've talked about it too many times this year in a negative sense, as you said. Yep. Whether it's a defensive play behind them or something of their own doing, too often I think in 2015 we've seen an inning get away from a guy, and it was quite the opposite last night. James Shields in a couple of spots, as you correctly mentioned, coming up and making a nice play out of the situation and taking care of business. Also, James Shields at the plate, everybody's favorite moment of the game last night, appears to have drawn a walk. But the home plate umpire, Chris Guccione, lost track of the count. He awarded him first base on ball three. Now, look, it is very easy to get all over Chris Guccione and to be like, hey, can you really not count? You know, that's crazy. Can you really not count? But to me, Chris Guccione screwing up balls and strikes was like the least offensive of a few things that happened, because it's going to happen, okay? Yeah. It's going to happen. It's just human nature. I get it. It's not the worst thing in the world. And there is a replay system that can correct this. But a couple of things here. One, I know I beat this horse and it has been dead for quite some time. But if the umpires are going to review something, they need to tell the people in the crowd what they're doing. If you're just a casual fan at Petco Park last night, you have no idea why the umpires are walking over to do that. You have no idea. You're like, why is the game stopped? That was a walk. Like, now, if you're a big-time baseball fan, you can probably figure it out from context. But if you're just here, why are we not announcing this? And that's not on the PA announcer. That's not on the ballpark. That's on the umpires and Major League Baseball, really, for not having a system in place. So that's the first thing that's ridiculous about this. The second thing is, I have no idea how it took 4 minutes to count to four. That's insane. They reviewed it for, like, 4 minutes.
No, I mean,
How does it take that long to figure out what the count is?
Blooper just had a highlight that showed the entire at-bat in about 20 seconds. Now he did get to edit it. But Blooper figured it out in a fraction of the time it took Major League Baseball to kind of put it together. So
it doesn't make any sense.
No.
All they have to do is hit rewind on the DVR. All right, there's ball one, fast forward. Okay, strike one, fast forward, strike two. And then you know that should take no more than 45 seconds. It should take no more than 45 seconds to count out balls and strikes. It wasn't like a 12-pitch at-bat and everything crazy is happening. Like, this was a pretty simple thing to do.
Yeah, and I mean, just to give you a little inside baseball, because I work in the control room during the game.
Right.
So there
are you taking responsibility for this?
No, I'm just going to tell
Good.
You how it's messed
up. It's not
your
fault.
No, I appreciate that. So Major League Baseball has an intercom into our control room, and they tell us usually what is going on in the replay. Now, most of the time, a replay is very self-explanatory. Is
right.
he out or safe at first base?
Yeah.
We turned it up last night. Nothing came through. So we're listening to the Fox broadcast trying to figure out, because we are on the same page as you. If we can tell the crowd what's going on, we want to, but we also cannot give out the wrong information.
Can't
because
guess.
That's the worst thing right. you can do is be wrong. So it was, yeah, very frustrating situation. And I mean, the whole system needs to get blown up. I mean, I've complained about it. I don't think the manager should have to challenge anything. I think whatever. We beat it.
Anyway, that was ridiculous. More about last night's game as time goes on. More about Travis Jankowski. We've also got a couple of special guests coming in. Corey Brock, our buddy at Follow the Padres, who covers the team for MLB.com, will be here. When we return, though, anytime you get the opportunity to speak to someone who is one of the absolute best at what they do, I say you take advantage of it.
Agreed.
Rod Laver, a San Diego guy who is without a doubt one of the greatest tennis players in the history of the sport, is here. He's hanging out, so he's going to stop by, and very much looking forward to chatting with the legendary Rod Laver in a few minutes. And as we said, also your questions and comments, hashtag PadresSH. All right, coming up on September 1st, it is Pride Night at Petco Park, as you can enjoy a night of networking, entertainment, and baseball as the Padres take on the Rangers at 7:10. The first 1,000 fans to purchase Pride Night tickets will receive a Pride-themed Padres hat. Tickets are available at Padres.com/pride. Got to get the tickets there if you want the hat, Padres.com/pride. We'll take a break. Come back. Rod Laver, Corey Brock, your questions, Padre Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padre Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. We're here at Petco Park. Day baseball today, 12:40. First pitch from Tyson Ross to the Atlanta Braves. Julio Teheran will be on the hill for Atlanta with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. And I was saying a few minutes ago, anytime you get the opportunity to meet or speak to someone who's one of the best in the history of what they do, you got to take advantage of it. And the legendary Tennis Hall of Famer Rod Laver is here. I've seen you at the ballpark before. I know a San Diego resident. You get to come out and enjoy some baseball.
Yeah, I think I'm a good luck for
okay.
Padres.
All right. So they win when you come.
They've won every time I've come down.
So then how do we fix it that you don't stop coming after this?
No, I'm just thrilled to be down to be able to throw out the first pitch. I'm very excited.
Have you been? Have you done that before?
No, I have not.
Okay, so this is a pretty big one, getting an opportunity to throw. Will there be a tennis racket involved, or are you just going to be traditional and throw the ball?
I was thinking, I was trying to throw, then I found, well, I can't throw, so I'm going to get a racket.
Okay.
And fire the ball at the catcher.
I like it.
I think we should use the fryer today to catch that.
Yeah, that's probably a good deal. So how are things? What are you up to these days?
No, I'm
there you go.
Not up. I'll get this thing on right, too.
There you go.
There you go.
No, I'm pretty much retired from everything, but I do visit the majors, you know, down Australia and Wimbledon, and so I'm yeah, just fancy free at the moment.
So you get to take it in as a fan when you go and you watch these Grand Slam tournaments. So your favorite to watch now is whom?
Well, I think I like watching a lot of them, but I think Federer is certainly, you know, he's on his last two or three years of being able to be competitive. So, you know, I enjoy watching him. I was at Wimbledon this year and saw he and Djokovic play a great match. And so, yeah, I like watching Djokovic. You know, Nadal is not up to where he was a couple of years ago, but hopefully he'll get himself back into shape again.
I don't know if there's been a sport that has changed as much with the technology of the equipment as tennis. I mean, it's got to be a pretty different game than you played, obviously, but as it evolved over the years, with the equipment getting so much better, the pace of play just getting so much faster, it's a very different game now, right?
Yeah, no, you know, it's great to see the new technology coming in to rackets. Yeah, and that's been certainly the major thing. Of course, the wooden rackets, you couldn't make them too big because they'd be too heavy.
Right.
So now you've got a large head racket because there was no, you know, stipulations on what size the racket had to be. It was just a racket and a ball and whatever you could lift. But now it's been terrific to see the amount of, you know, players that are from around the world everywhere are playing, you know, and it's you know, I think they're in Cincinnati this week, and the prize money structure is probably, I think if you can win it, it's probably close to $1 million to win. So, you know, that's a long way from the amateur world back in my era, but you know, you're going back to the 60s.
Yeah, no, hugely different in a lot of ways, not just the technology, but certainly the structure of the entire sport, the professionals and the amateurs, as you were saying. I'm always so fascinated in individual sports, golf, tennis, whatever, the mental toughness that you must have to be able to go out and have the kind of success that somebody like you did. You know, baseball has a lot of individual aspects to it. You know, the pitcher is out there by himself, the batter is in the box all by himself, but there are other people on the team. If you strike out, maybe the next guy gets the big hit. You've got no one else to rely upon in a sport like tennis. Well, the mental fortitude, I guess, that it must take to be successful, how big of a part of the success that guys have is that, you think?
I think the mental toughness is probably one of the major sections. Once you get to a level where maybe one of some of the local tournaments you've won, and then you go into the majors, you know, it is a mental technology that you have to play. But you know, mainly it's, you know, you're still playing one person and one racket, and so you've got a big area to work with. But it's main thing is, you know, it's, you know, how much do you want it? I mean, how much practice are you prepared to put in? If your serve's not working, how much serving do you do? So, you know, that's always a very important part. And I think probably the love of the game. Yes, there's times where you played lousy and you think, oh, get me another sport. And, but I think that leaves you. Once that day is over, you're in love with the game and you enjoy it.
You sort of move on to the next. That makes sense. Rod Laver is here, the tennis legend. Will be throwing out the first pitch before today's game, living in the area. And the Padres have never lost when you've been here. So, as I said, we need to get you out far more frequently. You're clearly the good luck charm here. Back to the mental toughness thing. I mean, when you watch other sports, do you ever, you know, put yourself in the shoes? Or even when you're watching tennis, you know, you sort of put yourself in the shoes of the athletes you're watching, and you could be like, oh, he just needs to take a deep breath or whatever it is, you know, when you're watching these guys.
No, probably in tennis, you know, I can identify with a lot of the shots that maybe they were missed, or maybe it was a big serve that could have gone in. Maybe you didn't need to serve it that hard to be able to win the point. Maybe a three-quarter serve would have been better. Otherwise, you find yourself serving a double fault, and then you know you've lost that whole area that whole time. But I don't really identify with like the pitchers or the hitter so much, because you know the technology, because you know I've been out there trying to practice a little bit and with my son and I, and I'm thinking. And I think my granddaughter can hit throw it faster than me, so I'm just happy to be able to think I can get it there now.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. Just get it there. That's great.
One of the great things about tennis for me is how different the majors are. Obviously, you may be partial to the Australian, but do you have a favorite of the major championships?
Well, I think for me, Wimbledon is the major number one tournament in the world, and I think most players would say that. Some of the U.S. players may say the U.S. Open here, but I think, you know, for the most part, all the players are playing. Yes, it's on grass, and not a lot of people play enough on grass. You know, when we played, it was, you know, back in the eras, you know, there was three grass court tournaments. There was Australia, the U.S. Open, and Wimbledon, and so we played a lot on grass, so it was pretty simple. Now you only got a Wimbledon circuit, which was maybe three or four tournaments. So some of the players are not at their best with just 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. To me, one of the beauties of tennis, the different surfaces and having to master all of them to really be one of the greats. And certainly Rod Laver, one of the absolute best to ever do it. An absolute thrill to meet you. Thank you so much for coming by. And have fun with the first pitch and enjoy the game today.
Well, I thank you. It's an honor to be here and be able to throw out the first pitch.
Looking forward to it. Very much. All right. Thank you so much, Rod Laver, tennis legend. Very, very cool. We'll take a break, come back. Corey Brock, a legend of MLB.com. He'll be here talk about the Venable trade and everything else going on with the Padres. Hey, if you are a UCSD Triton fan, you want to join the Padres coming up August 21st, 2 days from now, for UC San Diego night, and get a UC San Diego-themed Padres hat. Enjoy a night of baseball as the Pods take on the Cardinals at 7:10. Only tickets purchased through Padres.com/UCSD will include the hat. They are limited to the first 500 fans, so get your tickets now. Again, a huge thank you to Rod Laver for stopping by. Corey Brock when we return.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Again, a big thank you to Rod Laver coming by. Lives in the area, family in the area now, and throwing out the first pitch. I want to see him go tennis racket. That's my own personal choice with that thing. My grace is here. Corey Brock, MLB.com. That's a tough act to follow. No offense.
He's a four-time Wimbledon champ. I'm not even sure I've watched that four times. He's a left-hander, though.
Yes, he is.
Much like myself, and I'm excited to see him throw out the first pitch. But, like, you know, I guess I didn't really realize. I mean, I knew who he was, and I knew he lived here and his legacy and all that. Then I was kind of reading about him online as I was waiting to go on here. I was like, holy smokes.
I mean, yeah. Mount Rushmore.
This is the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For a period of time there in the 60s and early 70s. And, man, that's cool.
Really cool. Really cool. So that was nice to visit with him. We're placing you on the Cholula hot seat. I know you have no problem with that because you can handle anything. The big news, obviously, Travis Jankowski is up. Will Venable is gone. And maybe the main thing with this trade, which I don't know that everybody realized right off the bat, was this wasn't necessarily only about the 21-year-old catcher acquired in the Will Venable deal. There is a player to be named later who, as A.J. Preller put it last night, is going to be the key piece of this deal.
Yeah, that's sort of the important component to this. And You know, this will all kind of shake out here in the near future, I think. And first of all, the trade, a very interesting one in that Will Venable was the longest tenured Padre here, had been here since his major league debut in 08. And, you know, a good Padre, and served a lot of roles here. And I was thinking a little bit, and, you know, Gracie, I know you got a lot of history here, thinking about all the catches that he's made. Mm-hmm. And I think about that one in San Francisco in 2013.
Yeah, the over the head.
Yeah, kind of the Willie Mays thing. And then, of course, the Mike Trout. Jesse, we were talking about that last night. And a very good guy in the community, too. And I don't think we should lose sight of that. This guy did a ton of work in the community with the Monarch School, very notable and admirable stuff, and stuff that he loved doing, and no one had to force this upon him, and just a very good guy. You know, he'd ask me about my wife and my kids. He knew their names, and it was always genuine with Will, and I think that's what I'll miss most about him. But, it's kind of a new era. You know, what's funny, I was talking with the scout who signed Travis Jankowski today, Jim Bretz. He's still with the team. He's from the Northeast, and he actually signed Will Venable, too, when Will was coming out of Princeton. So it's kind of like, you know, kind of two ships passing in the night a little bit.
Yeah, very interesting.
It's interesting with Will. I mean, he was a team MVP, then he has to take a step back after a rough year last year, but always handled it all with great, you know, class and a real team guy. I mean, like you said, he was always really easy to get along with, a real good guy, cared about people, and it was fun to be around him.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right. And I remember a conversation we had early in spring training, and this is at the point where the Padres have completely overhauled their outfield. You have Will Myers, you have Justin Upton and Matt Kemp, and it became apparent that Will Venable was going to take a reserve role. And he was like, hey, you know, this isn't about me. This is about the greater good of the team. You know, I'll get my at-bats here, and I'll contribute where I can. And this wasn't just sort of empty talk. This is a guy that really was about the greater good more than he was about his own accomplishments and achievements. And, I know some fans sort of maybe want to paint a lot of these guys as faceless robots who are here to, you know, collect a paycheck or whatever. But, that's not the case, and it's certainly not the case with Will Venable. This is a genuine human being that cared a lot about his teammates, cared a lot about winning and giving his best. You know, his wife Catherine, a wonderful lady. They just gave birth to their first child, a daughter. It's funny, we're going to see them here in a few weeks when the Rangers come here. It's funny scheduling quirk. I know I'm kind of going on and on here, and we should talk about Jankowski, but I feel like you make these deals, and you know, these guys you send out, some of them have a little bit more legacy than others, and I think it's worth talking about, and it's certainly worth remembering.
Absolutely. Will Venable, great guy, and a very solid player for the Padres for quite some time. I'll throw out some of the hot questions that I'm sure you're seeing on Twitter, we're seeing on Twitter, not to say you have a definite answer for all of them, but Jankowski, what do we expect playing time-wise, I guess, moving forward? Once he actually gets here, I believe he's on his way now.
Yeah, I think he had a morning flight. I think he'll be on the lineup card. He won't be in the starting lineup, but I think he'll be available today. Yeah, I think you're going to see him a lot in center field. Maybe a sort of a platoon situation with Melvin Upton Jr., who, of course, had the big night last night. But, you know, Travis Jankowski, certainly being a left-handed hitter, I would expect he's going to be in the lineup more often than not, just because you're going to face more right-handers than you would left-handers anyway. This is a guy that has plus speed, plus defense, really sets up well for playing in a ballpark like this and these National League West parks. This is sort of a de facto audition for 2016, and sort of see how he could handle a major league pitching. And I think this is a guy they're very excited about. He had a breakout year this year at two minor league stops. I think this is a kind of a late bloomer, and his best baseball is still ahead of him, and they're very excited about him.
All right, I'll just throw out some of the numbers for everybody. He's 24 years old. His first appearance will be his major league debut this season. 73 games at Double A, 24 games at Triple A. Combined, he hit .335 with 17 doubles, 7 triples, a homer, 25 RBIs, and 35 stolen bases. In the 24 games with Triple A El Paso, .392. The batting average, he stole a ton of bases at Lake Elsinore a couple of years ago, over 70. Kind of drops in as a prototypical leadoff guy, maybe, which is something that we've said all season the Padres don't really have on their roster.
Yeah, and it's it bears watching, you know, just how he's going to handle major league pitching. I think we're in an era now, Jesse, where the disparity between the big leagues and Triple-A has never been greater, whether that's diluted pitching at that level, I don't know what it is, a lot of ballpark factors, whatever. But, you know, it's hard to sort of translate minor league numbers and just say, okay, well, he's going to hit X up here. You know, he's still got to prove it up here, but I think they feel like the skill set can potentially play well here. And especially, you know, you want to be strong up the middle, and the Padres have been looking for a guy at the top that can maybe handle that spot moving forward. And at least on paper and what he's done in this season, it looks like that he could potentially do that.
One of the real challenges, it seems like, is translating those minor league numbers, because the splits between AA and AAA are so great, you know, on the negative side for hitters in AA and positive side there, and then the reverse for pitchers. So, but he did have great success at AA this year, which is a good sign, because that's a tough hitters league.
Yeah, the Texas League is traditionally kind of a pitchers league. You get in the Pacific Coast League, and you see a lot of high averages, and, you know, certainly ballparks at high elevation, hard infields, a lot of factors kind of weigh into that a little bit. But ultimately, you know, scouts will tell you, you know, if you could hit, you could hit. And, you know, the real good ones tend to rise to the top. The other ones kind of weed themselves out a little bit. So he's going to get a chance. I mean, this will not be a situation where he's going to come up and sit and watch and learn. A.J. Preller said last night that's not the case. He's coming up here to play.
All right. Corey Brock is here on the Cholula hot seat. Of course, he is on Twitter, at Follow the Padres. Travis Jankowski on his way here, maybe has arrived in the clubhouse. We don't know. We don't have a camera in the clubhouse, but he is on his way to make his Major League debut when he first appears in a game. And the reason there's a roster spot available to him is Will Venable traded to the Texas Rangers. This player to be named later, we mentioned earlier. Do we have a sense of who it might be? I mean, I know that could be a little bit of throwing darts at a dartboard. But obviously there's a list that exists between John Daniels and A.J. Preller, the two general managers, and A.J. Will make a selection off that list. Do you have a sense of what it might be position-wise, if not necessarily an actual guy or two?
I sort of think it's going to be a position player. And, yeah, the Padres have a list that they could choose from, and they could. There's a period of time they have that we're not privy to where they could further scout and watch these guys. And there's another caveat too, Jesse, that the it may be a case where it's a player who has to pass through waivers,
right?
And you know, yesterday when the this deal was made, the Rangers DFA'd outfielder Michael Choice, who's a nice player, and so, you know, I think he'd have to go through waivers. So he could be a potential fit. I'm just throwing names out there. So this is a potential. So it's not just necessarily the names on the sheet. It could be someone that still has to go through waivers.
Right. And if that's the case, just to make sure I got this right, and so everybody understands, if he clears through waivers, obviously the trade can be completed. That's easy enough. If he doesn't clear through waivers, maybe they would just wait until the offseason to do the deal. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And therefore, it'd give them more time to scout the names on that list, especially with the minor league season now running through the first week of September. It'd give you a little bit more time to evaluate and ultimately decide what you want.
Do we have any idea of what type of offseason to expect? I mean, do we know if this is a team they feel like they've got a good core and want to move forward with? I mean, you've got some guys that you're going to have on this team because of their contract situation, but I mean, I think at this point we know when it comes to A.J. Preller, he's probably going to do what you don't expect, but I mean, where is this team going to go in the offseason, do you think?
That's a great question. I've sort of come to expect the unexpected with A.J., and I think that's not a bad thing. It's just that, you know, they have their plans of what they want to do and try and, you know, fill some spots. You know, I still think that, you know, you're trying to figure out shortstop. I think that's a spot that they're going to have to decide what they want to do there. You know, we've seen Jed Jerko the other day. I imagine we'll see him play there a little bit more as they want to look at Corey Spangenberg at second base, and Solarte has been very good at third. So maybe a way to get those three guys in the lineup together. You know, it's hard to say. Yeah, payroll is going to affect this. You know, it just isn't a bottomless pit where you just kind of keep buying pieces. And free agency certainly is kind of a slippery slope in some regards. So I'm really curious, just as I was curious last year. And if you remember, like it took a while for AJ to make that first move. You know,
right.
You know, he came on in August, and I don't think that really got the first notable deals going until December. So Yeah, I really don't know what to expect anymore. Yeah.
When we thought Clint Barmas was the big move of the offseason.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't even. It was after the winter meetings. That's the crazy thing.
Right.
I mean, we talked about a Kemp trade during the winter meetings, but it wasn't actually done until afterwards. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, in the offseason. And all the fun really began for him. One last thing. You mentioned Jerko at shortstop. We saw one game. It looked good. You know, but what do you make of the experiment overall?
I think they'll continue to look at it, and I don't think they're going to run him out there days on end. I think that, you know, they still have to find a way to keep Alexi Amarista fresh, Clint Barmas a little bit. But, you know, I think we'll see it a little bit more, and I think, you know, they still want to see Jed Jerko's bat in the lineup. I know he's playing second today. So, you know, again, I don't know the rhyme or reason for it. You know, a lot of times matchups come into play with this, and with not just Jed, but the other guys in the lineup. So, yeah, I think we're going to see it maybe a couple times a week. Nothing's been kind of put in, you know, etched in stone yet as far as how they're going to use him. But I think they'll continue to look at it and see if his range can truly play there.
Great insight, as always. Corey Brock on Twitter. I'm sure you're following him. But just in case, at Follow the Padres, thank you, as always. Very nice. Good stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. Corey Brock, MLB.com, on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We'll take a break, come back, get to your Twitter questions. Join us. Use the hashtag PadresSH. Got that. And more when we return on Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United. Thanks to Corey Brock for hanging out a little while, talking ball. Rod Laver as well. That's cool, man.
Man.
That's a legendary dude.
Yeah, no, that's like...
You got to sit on a couch with Rod Laver.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a hot seat yet. I mean,
no,
it got there later, but...
Yeah, just a regular couch.
Yeah, and good dude. He was cool.
Very cool.
Australians always just seem cool.
Do you think it's the accent? Is that what you're saying?
No, for some reason. I don't think... Maybe they're chill over there. I don't know. Yeah. They got a nice vibe, but they're just always just
He's
regular
awesome.
Guys.
He was awesome. You're
he
right.
was cool.
Regular guy, which is incredible when you consider all of his professional accomplishments. So that was a lot of fun. I'm going to get some Twitter questions coming up in a moment here. Ken Rosenthal, Fox Sports on Twitter. Sources, Utley's situation with Phillies coming to a head, trade possible today. So obviously you've seen every team, it seems like, connected with Chase Utley and the Phillies at some point or another. The most recent one I saw was the Angels as a possible landing spot for him. He's a guy that can reject the trade. Southern California, we know.
Yeah.
Long Beach guy, so maybe the Angels do make some sense. But there you go. Chase Utley, who's really, really struggled this year, but, you know, is still Chase Utley. His name out there again, trade-wise, and according to Ken Rosenthal, that could come to a head today. So pay attention to all of that. Let's get to the tweets. Travis Jankowski has arrived, apparently. He is in the ballpark, and he is on the bench for today's game. Jellyman wants to know if there's any chance we see him play today. I would say, of course, there's a chance, dependent upon the situation. But I wouldn't be surprised if they want to try and get his feet wet, you know, at some point this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, you see that a lot of guys getting a pitching in appearance or maybe throwing in defensively just to ease him in, and then off day tomorrow, which is probably really nice for the kid to get settled in, find a place to temporarily live here in San Diego, and then maybe get a start Friday or at some point this weekend, I'm sure.
Not only that, but you mentioned the off day tomorrow. I would like to get him in the game today so that he doesn't spend the entire off day being like, I got to make my major league debut. Not to say that Jankowski is that big
point.
Of a psycho, but I would feel like that is sort of the way most guys would feel. You have a whole day to sit there and think about it. And you're like you said, he'll be busy. He'll be looking for a hotel room or whatever, you know, to, a place to rent for the next, you know, month and a half. But I would love to get him in the game today if the situation permits. And at least you check that one box off for Travis Jankowski. He played in a game and okay. Hasn't started, but whatever.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. You definitely want to try to get him at bat because I don't think if you throw him out there defensively, you know, I think that comes pretty naturally. But that first at bat is what's going to make him nervous. So if the situation dictates, I'm sure Murph wouldn't force it if it wasn't there.
Right.
But that is a good point to try to get him an AB tonight.
Okay, so that's a good question from Jellyman. Stewart is up next and wants to know if we're going to start a hashtag how many steals for Jankowski. On Social Hour, he wants to play a game, make a game out of it. where I guess we predict stolen bases for him. He's fast, man. You know, 71 stolen bases at Elsinore a couple of years ago. This season between Double A and Triple A, 35 stolen bases in 97 games. He can run. There's no doubt about it. And it's fun watching those guys play baseball. You know, we say he might kind of project as a prototypical leadoff guy. I don't know that we're going to see him lead off a ton at the start. Just my guess would be he's probably going to be down at the bottom of the order, you know, and eventually, though, he'll get some opportunities to lead off. But, yeah, a guy that can certainly run the bases.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure to put a kid in the leadoff spot. I mean, there's a whole mentality of, all right, you got to go up there and take pitches. You might change your approach a little bit. He hasn't seen any of these, for the most part, major league pitchers unless he's seen them in Double A, Triple A recently. So, yeah, they're not going to want to put a lot of pressure on him, but they're also going to want to see what he can do and maybe get on in front of some of the big bats, make something happen.
Yeah.
What we saw with Billy Hamilton, it's exciting to think about the possibilities of guys like that. What they can do defensively in center field can be a bit of a game changer. Then on the base pass, it's fun. It changes what a pitcher does to the batter when you are on the base pass, if you can be a nuisance. I mean, you saw that for so many years with Ricky Henderson. He just took the focus away from the batter, and that can change a lot of at-bats.
Are you comparing Travis Jankowski to Ricky Henderson?
Oh, absolutely. He's the next. He's the next one.
I love it. I love it. Got to get on base. That's something Ricky did phenomenally,
yep.
And it's something that Billy Hamilton struggles with. And you often see these, you know, speed guys, you know, with the low on-base percentages, and you're thinking to yourself, just draw a walk, you know, do something to get yourself on base. And that's what made Ricky a Hall of Famer, one of the things that made Ricky a Hall of Famer. All right, we got other Twitter stuff coming in. We'll get to that as the show continues. Hashtag PadresSH. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back, get to today's starting lineup, and more of your questions. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio on a Way Back Wednesday.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Okay, welcome back. AMR Studio, Petco Park, with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Blooper's blooping away.
Always.
Tough couple days for Blooper. He's down on himself now.
Should be.
Wow. Wow. You all right, Blooper? You hanging in over there?
A good couple days.
Oh.
Ooh.
He's just gone. He's swung it totally the other way. He's going to pretend like everything's been great.
Yeah, his set's not falling apart.
Yeah, no, not at all. He's not losing his mind. One more trade. One more tweet to talk about with the trade. Dan, the troll, he says, so who's going to be sent down when the player to be named later is ready to come back in the lineup? I don't know if he's messing around because he knows this upsets me or if he's legitimately asking the question. We always say, like, with these questions, like, you don't want to try and answer this now because you don't know, A, if the player to be named later is going to be here tomorrow or if he's going to be here in November. You certainly don't know what position he is. You don't know if he's going to be added to the major league roster. So trying to guess who is going to be sent down if and when the gentleman arrives is a futile thing to do.
Yeah, no,
we shan't be doing it.
It's the Padres Social Hour motto. We know nothing.
That's it.
Right?
We certainly can't read the future.
No.
Only Bill Center, when he puts on a silly little hat,
and
can
you
read the future.
You can.
Sort of.
You nailed it, bro.
At times. Yeah, I got the cycle. It was cool. By the way, Dodgers, always fun to take little jabs at the Dodgers. Somewhat quietly this week. They fired their third base coach, essentially, and hired another one, which I thought was kind of interesting for a first-place team. I say they fired Lorenzo Bundy. He's now an outfield coach, but so he'll still be on the bench, but he's not coaching third. And Ron Renneke, who was fired by the Brewers earlier this year as a manager and a well-regarded guy, certainly, brought on in August to be the new third base coach of the Dodgers. That seems like something that a stable team would not do.
Yeah, no, a lot of weird stuff. I mean, that's really weird. But they also just blew out, like, half their international scouting department, too,
after
office. They just went crazy signing tons of guys. So hopefully all is not right in Dodger world.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That's a shame. That's a shame. Hey, you can join the Padres for a pedal at the park, an inaugural radio telethon and cycling event that is coming up on September 12th. It benefits Pedal the Cause and local cancer research centers. So participate in a one-hour cycling class on the field, which features a DJ, the Padre game on the big board against the Giants, a post party, and more. To register, and it's for a great cause, visit padres.com/pedal, padres.com/pedal. Take a break. Come back and starting lineups, and then goodbye from us. But still, baseball to come on Social Hour.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Oh, we are nearly out of time on Padres Social Hour, but don't worry. That means baseball is coming up shortly. 12:40 first pitch, Tyson Ross and Julio Teheran. Let's take a look at the starting lineup for the Padres, presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Yan-Hervis Solarte will lead off again at third base. He really is. Somebody's got a – the story's been written, I guess, but he's been such a good story. This year, Yonder Alonso will hit second at first base. Kemp and Upton, 3 and 4, as you'd expect. Jerko starting at second base today will hit fifth. Melvin, Amarista, Hedges, and the pitcher Tyson Ross. Travis Jankowski is on the bench. If you're here today, you may see him make his major league debut.
Love the bat flip last night from Solarte. It was glorious.
He was really into. He crushed it. Crushed it on the 3-run homer. Hey, that's it for us. Game coming up. Enjoy it. Thanks to Rod Laver for stopping by and Corey Brock as well.